both man and beast thy bounty share. The whole creation is thy charge, but saints are thy peculiar care. My God, how excellent thy grace, whence all our hope and comfort brings. Earthly woes we sweetly rest, under the shadow of thy wings.
Now, let us bow our heads as we call upon Brother Ed Bushlist to ask the Lord's blessing upon the service which follows.
Our gracious and loving and wise Father in heaven, we humbly and reverently bow before thy hallowed throne of grace this morning, thankful for the privilege of coming before thee at this time and learning of thy word and its principles, of thy divine goodness to us, thy power and majesty. We thank thee for the privilege and opportunity which is ours now to meditate upon thy word as it will be brought to our attention through our dear Brother Schoppelbaum. We pray thy Holy Spirit would richly dwell with his heart and mind as he endeavors to bring forth those things from thy storehouse of truth that would be a help, that would assist in our edification, that would help us along the narrow way as we strive to enter in and to do thy will more acceptably. And so bless us as we meditate upon these things, Father. May thy Spirit richly be upon us as we listen to these thoughts. May we hear them, and may we endeavor through thy help to apply them in our walk before thee. So to this end we commit this hour now and to thy care and keeping, and give thee thanks as we approach unto thee through the precious and worthy name and in the merit of Jesus as our advocate. Amen.
Dear friends, I'm sure to all of the brethren here that Brother Albert is really considered as being at home in the Chicago area, because both he and Sister Anastasia's walk in the narrow way, for the most part, has been in the general Chicago area. We also remembered, in having been in the Minneapolis area, the ministry of Brother Albert. And though they're on the west coast at the present time, we're very happy that we have them with us this morning, and that Brother Albert has agreed to serve the brethren. And so we're looking forward to his message, and he's going to discourse to us this morning on the subject, Our Faithful Creator. Our Faithful Creator. Brother Albert.
Thank you, Brother Borwick. Sister Anastasia and I are happy to be with you. You know, it's I have difficulty in wording it correctly, but we feel at home, as Brother Borwick mentioned. You know, we've been with you, brethren, over the years. We've seen many of you grow up from youth up, and we have very many pleasant memories of the brethren in Chicago. Though it's 10 years now since we, under the Lord's providence, have moved to California. Time goes by rather quickly. We were commissioned to bring the love of the brethren whom we meet with in Southern California, so we want to do that. And for this morning, we thought we might consider a few thoughts based on 1 Peter 4:19. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, Peter is here giving advice based on his own personal experiences. And one of these is recorded for us in Acts 5, where the apostles were brought before the council, verses 40 and 42. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Peter, in instructing us from the wealth of his experiences, is suggesting that we continue to do the Lord's will and not to become weary in well-doing. That having once committed our all to the Lord, we are to continue because we have the assurance from our Lord that he that had begun a good work in you will perform it. The Christian course is not one of ease and comfort, but there is to be a measure of suffering. Romans 8:17, we read of this, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Willingness to suffer proves to us and to the Lord that the promise that we had made at the time of our consecration, "Not my will, but thine be done," that we are willing to carry that out throughout our Christian course. If the Lord had left it up to us individually to select our experiences, I think it's safe to say that most of us would have selected those experiences that we are most inclined to handle well. But we would shy away from those experiences that we have trouble with, those that seem to be a problem to us to handle as well as we would like. But the Lord knows better than any of us as to what we need. What we need to develop us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And it is a constant fighting of the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And this battle continues on in our lives to the very end of our Christian course. And so the struggle continues, and we're confronted with this daily. To which will we bend to? The fleshly inclinations or the direction of the Spirit? These are necessities, brethren, for each of us to accept the Lord's providences and to be strengthened and fortified. One thought that we have been considering in our class in California is that when at consecration we promise the Lord that we will do his will and not our own. And that's an excellent promise. But then the Lord tests us. You know, the new creature is really at the beginning, only a will to do the Lord's will. That's all it is. But it's not strong. It has to be tested and proven, or as Brother Russell uses the expression, it has to be crystallized. And anything that's crystallized is hard. It's firm. It's permanent. And the same thing with us. At first we say, "Yes, Lord, I want to do your will." And then the tests come to prove to us and to the Lord, do we mean that fully or was it only a wish that if it got too rough, we'd say, well, Lord, this is, I really didn't expect all this. But the Lord is directing, as we were considering in our study this morning, it's the Lord that's directing. And so it's necessary for each of us to be able to say in our experience, and try to learn from each experience, what is it that the Lord wants? And even if I don't understand what it is, to say, thy will and not mine. And the human will is a problem to us. You know, we have three general categories of enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're inclined to blame the devil for most of our problems. But we give him too much credit, because sometimes it's our own flesh. Our flesh would prefer this rather than that. We all have natural dispositions, and we must fight these faithfully to the very end, because the natural disposition would like worldly things, easy, and to enjoy the things of this world, and if the Lord prospers us, we could grant ourselves some of these things. And that's the problem that the brethren have, particularly in the United States. Affluence, affluence, affluence. You can. You have the means. And we must continually be able, by the Lord's grace, to curb these desires, natural desires, that are contrary to the Lord's will for us. Because some earthly things are a necessity, but as we've been told in years gone by, there's a difference between our needs and our wants. You know, everybody could list, what would you want? I can make quite a long list of what you would want. But what do you really need? Well, when you get down to it, there really isn't much that you need. It's very limited as to what we actually need. And so we must be continually on guard against the desires of the flesh. Those things that would interfere with our development as new creatures in Christ. We had promised the Lord to do His will, and not our own, but our own, though figuratively the old will was slain at the time of our consecration, but it was only figuratively so. It keeps cropping up. Experience comes up and says, well, I'd like to have it this way. This is what I would like. But then we must consider it from the standpoint of our consecration. Would it be helpful to us as a new creature? Or would it prove to be a detriment? Would it be a catering to the flesh rather than to the spirit? And these are continual promises, problems through all of our earthly course. We also read of our Lord in Hebrews 2:10, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. I think the thought is perfected through sufferings. So that our Lord, even though He was perfect in the flesh, He had fleshly inclinations, fleshly preferences, fleshly desires, and He had to suppress these. So the Lord gave, His Heavenly Father gave Him various trials and tests to test Him completely through the sufferings that He would have to go through. I think we've all been in a way long enough to know that sufferings are not pleasant to the flesh. None of us really look forward that, well, I've got some more suffering to go through. I just so happy that I'm going to get another trial. That isn't usually the way we look at it. But these are necessities. Through these sufferings, our Master was perfected, and we can only be perfected through these sufferings, that our character would be crystallized, hardened, set in righteousness and justice, that there wouldn't be any swerving from that. Because actually, when we get beyond the veil, we will be granted, according to the Lord's promise, we will, if faithful, we will be granted joys. You know, I get lost in this area, talking about the divine nature, talking about the beauty of character, the beauty of being, the powers that must be inherent in the divine nature. This is just beyond our comprehension. We know something about a intelligent, well-disposed, kind individual, but we know nothing about a divine being. But a divine being would have a scope of activity, of powers, of beauty, of being, that exceeds anything that we know of or could even imagine. At least I can't imagine what it will be like. And so we must get all of our trials and testings and be so set to do the Lord's will, tested completely, that when we receive the divine nature, there will never be any time that we will say, well, I've got a good idea. Maybe we should do it a little different than what the Lord had planned. All of the, any ideas, any thought of doing it better or doing it different because we might get better results, that'll all have to be taken care of on this side the veil, so that we would be thoroughly and completely devoted to doing the Lord's will only. And this is manifested in the life of our dear Redeemer when he mentioned on occasion that he only did that which he saw his Father do. He only spoke the things that the Father told him. And being a perfect human being, if he chose, I'm sure he could have come up with a few good ideas. But he didn't allow himself this. He didn't allow himself to try something a little different. Only what the Father had told him, only what the Father had instructed him, only what he had seen the Father do, and nothing else. And I think that underlying all of the discussion about character development, underlying all of the doing of the Lord's will, it's to learn a complete submission to the Father's arrangement in every detail. And as we had mentioned earlier this morning, that the specifications that the Lord has given us are absolute. We can't improve on it. We can't stretch it. We can't limit it. It must be exactly as our Father had indicated. And so we need all of these experiences in addition to our study. Are we trying to apply these specifications as thoroughly as we can? Now, I don't want to leave the thought that any of us will be able to do it perfectly. I've been in the way long enough to know that we won't be able to do it perfectly in the flesh. But it's necessary for us to reach that point in our lives where we would say, I want the Lord's will done, whatever the price or the consequences might be. I want His will only, and be willing to submit to it, rather than try to avoid. You know, Brother Morehouse used the illustration, he said, we put our sacrifice on the altar. And then when the fire gets too hot in the middle of the altar, then we say, well, we better move our sacrifice over to the edge. The fire isn't quite as hot there. And this we can do. And the Lord will permit us to do this. But this is not learning it fully. And the longer we remain in the narrow way, the less inclined we should be to pull the sacrifice from the center of the altar to the side, so that the heat wouldn't affect us quite as much. We read of our Lord in Hebrews 8:5, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Learning obedience. And so we are learning this among our other lessons, obedience to our Heavenly Father as He directs, according to His Word. And, in the classroom, and all of us have been in classrooms sometime in our lives, the teacher, you have one teacher, and the teacher gives the lesson to all the pupils in the room. One learns the lesson, and another one, you would think that they weren't even there. They didn't learn the lesson. And this is the problem with us. You know, we have certain lessons. Now, it depends on us individually how we learn our lessons. You know, when I was in the Lutheran Church, why, the minister said, well, you belong to the Lutheran Church, and if you're a good person and you attend the church regularly and pay your dues, why, you're going to heaven. That was easy. But with us, it's different. Because you belong to West Suburban doesn't guarantee you an entrance into the kingdom. We individually are responsible to the Lord. We have to answer for our own actions as to what we accepted or we don't accept, how we responded to the Lord's providence, whether we were endeavoring to be obedient as fully as we could be, or whether we were trying to cut corners. You all know what cutting corners is. You know, in work, people cut corners often. They have an assignment, and they know what it should be. But they try to figure out some way of cutting corners, doing less than what they should. And we don't want to do this. We want to be as fully obedient in appreciation. Now, when talking about obedience, I think it's based on our appreciation. The degree of appreciation determines the degree of obedience. If you appreciate little, there will be comparative obedience. But if we appreciate much the Lord's direction and providence, then we would be happy to be obedient because we would value. So each one must put a value on their relationship with the Lord. Is it the most important thing in your life? Are you willing to give up everything for it? Or whether you, another illustration Brother Morehouse gave it, are we trying to hang on to both sides of the fence? You know, are we trying to hold on to the earthly as well as the spiritual? And this is, you know, we must answer this individually. I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. Each one has to answer for themselves and do the Lord's will to the extent that they feel would be proper for them. But I think the ideal is we should be willing to lay down our all to the extent that we can. And then we'll be assured of receiving the reward, full reward. If we are not fully appreciative and obedient, we might receive a lesser reward. And then looking back, we might say, wasn't that foolish? I had it. I could have attained to it, but I didn't appreciate, and I wasn't as obedient as I could have been. Obedience is illustrated for us in the scriptures, perhaps as well as anywhere, in the experiences of King Saul. King Saul was told by Samuel that Samuel would return on the seventh day and offer the sacrifice before they would engage in battle. And of course, during that wait, the scriptures indicate that the soldiers began to be discouraged, and some of them said, well, we better go home. So some of them left. And Saul was getting concerned that if he waited too long, he might not have an army left. So he decided, well, the expedient thing would be to make the sacrifice himself. And when Samuel arrived, he told him that he'd done a very foolish thing, that because of this, the kingdom would be taken from him and from his sons, all because he was willing to be influenced by what seemed to be expedient. You know, the circumstances indicate that we should do this, even though we know that that isn't the best. But the circumstances are such, you know, you justify it by the circumstances. And Saul, because of this disobedience, lost all. The Lord's Spirit departed from him, and he was never the same after that. And so, we can make excuses, we can justify a course of action that is other than fully devoted and in harmony with the Lord's will for us. We can do this, and the Lord will let us do it if we want to. But we won't receive the full reward. So we want to be as faithful to the full extent, to endure the oppositions, the difficulties. We don't want to fight the circumstances that the Lord might bring into our lives. And the Lord, we have learned, and it's been said by others, that the Lord has tailor-made our experiences, that one's experiences might not be the same as another. And so someone would say, well, you know, I have peculiar experiences. Or as one brother mentioned, you know, everything is going wrong. If we're the Lord's, nothing is going wrong. It might not be what we wanted. It may not be what we had hoped it would be. It may not even be what we would wish it were. But the Lord has promised to direct all of our affairs. Now this takes faith. It takes also a measure of humility to accept it, whether it was favorable to us or not favorable. The Lord knows all about it. I think when we stop to think about it, we say, well, of course the Lord knows all about it. We also will admit, if the Lord didn't want this to happen to me, it wouldn't have happened. He could have diverted it. He could have directed it in another way. It could have bypassed us completely. But he chose to direct this experience to us, to test our obedience. Endurance means not to grumble. You know, it's one of the easiest things for us to do is when we're in a test of some kind or other directed by the Lord, to grumble. Say, well, we're having trouble with this and it doesn't seem to be working out right, and well, if we could only get away from it and have something different. But that's really not submitting ourselves to the Lord's providence if we grumble about it. We want to be able to accept His will for us. Stephen, at the time that he was executed, and from a fleshly standpoint, I guess Stephen realized fully that this was unjust, that this was an experience that from a natural standpoint was entirely wrong. And yet, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he also asked the Lord to forgive them, for they did not know what they were doing. Now that's full submission, to be able to say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Our usual reaction is somewhat different than that. But I think that this is what is required. This is the goal or objective in our experiences, and that we don't want to lower our standard for ourselves in the Lord's providences. We want to be able to submit fully so that we might get the full reward. We also read in Peter, casting all our care upon Him. That whatever it is, that we cast this care upon the Lord, and that He will direct according to His promise. I'll have to refer to another Morehouse illustration, because it's so appropriate. You know, Brother Morehouse told us that at the end of the day, we get on our knees and pray to the Lord, and we say, "Well, I leave it all with you now." And then we get up, and then we begin to worry about it all over again. So what we're doing, in essence, we say, "Lord, we're leaving it with you," and then we take it back from the Lord and begin to worry as to what we're going to do with this problem. And we can see the folly of that. It's obvious that if you promise to leave it with the Lord, leave it there. Don't take it from Him. He's wiser than we are. He has the ability to direct our course beyond anything that we have. He has forces. And, of course, we all agree that we have a guardian angel. But how often do we forget it? And we say, "Oh, boy, now what do I do?" And the Lord directed it. He's had His angelic messenger there. And they can take care of it if it gets to the point where it's not to our spiritual good. But we oftentimes let the flesh enter in. And according to the flesh would like to get rid of anything that's annoying, that's disturbing, that's difficult. We want to to remember here, as we read in our opening text, that our Heavenly Father is a creator. He's creating a new creation, a creation that is superior to anything that has ever been created before. And so the requirements are the highest. The requirements to be part of the new creation is very demanding. You know, for individuals to get a position to be the valedictorian, or to get a position of having the highest grades in their class, or to be a president of a company, or perhaps we could even use the Olympics. If a young person, a girl or a young man, want to be victorious in the Olympics, they realize they have to go through rigorous training. They have to lay aside everything else and just concentrate on that. Because if they think they can just be lackadaisical about it, everybody knows they never make it. This requires a lot of training, a lot of giving up natural pursuits in life in order to be a victorious athlete in the Olympics. And so they deprive themselves of what young people usually do. And they just train and train and train. And not only that, but they're on special diets. You don't eat what you will like. You eat what would be best for you. And you can't say, well, this week I will, next week it'll be something else. That doesn't work. You must stick to your diet. You must stick to your training if you are going to be victorious in the Olympics. And I think that the prize that the Lord has set before us is even more stringent, because this is the greatest reward that the Lord has offered to anyone. You know, He's bypassed all the angelic hosts. And I imagine, I don't know, but I imagine that among the angelic hosts there are some wonderful beings. Wonderful beings. And the Lord has not offered them the divine nature. But He's offered it to us, fallen, imperfect human beings. And He's preparing us, if we submit to His providence, if we submit to His instructions, then He will prepare us and make us ready to receive the divine will. Our loyalty to the Lord is being tested daily. How or to what degree am I endeavoring, by the Lord's grace, to be faithful? The Lord has promised that He would not tempt us above what we're able to bear, but rather that He would provide for us a way out. And so we're endeavoring, by the Lord's grace, in appreciation of what He has given to us in His Word and the prospect, to strive to be faithful even unto death. And that we're not alone in this. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm all alone. Brethren don't understand what I'm going through, and nobody else understands. And it may be so that the brethren don't understand, but there are those that understand. Our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus do understand, and they are directing it. Our advocate is fully aware of every experience that we have, and that they will terminate that experience in their own way, you know, that human will crops up continually. And if we let ourselves, we can think of, well, this is the way I'd like to get out of this experience. And I have a good solution to it. But that may not be the Lord's way out. It may be that we would go through what we would not prefer, that we would prefer to get out of it some other way. But the Lord is selecting the best. And there's where our faith comes in. Do we believe that the Lord is directing in all of our affairs? Or is He directing in only some of them, and the rest of them we have to struggle and figure out what to do on our own? This is the difference between a victorious faith and a faith that is weak, a faith that doesn't trust fully, but only partially. And this is something that we have to contend with each day of our lives. But having submitted ourselves to the will of our Heavenly Father, Peter tells us that He is a faithful Creator. I think it would be safe to say that our Heavenly Father is even more interested in our making our calling and election sure than we are. You know, we can become indifferent. We can become feel, I don't know, I don't see why I should continue on, this is difficult and so on. But our Heavenly Father has selected us. And He's put in a lot of work into us. You know, when a man or a woman work on something, and they put in a lot of time and effort, they hate to see the thing just fall apart on them. You know, they say, all that effort and it came to naught. And our Heavenly Father has called us. He has begotten us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And He's dealing with us each day, giving us those experiences that are the best for us. And if we don't prove faithful, then He would be disappointed, because He selected us. He gave us of His Spirit because we could make it. We could make it if we would cooperate with His dealing with us. We don't direct our experiences, or we should not try to direct. The Lord never asked us to direct our experiences. All He asked of us is that we would accept His direction in our lives, in our experiences, that we would cooperate with Him, be submissive, and appreciate His divine wisdom and provision for us. And so we want to leave this thought with you, brethren. The Lord has given us the greatest of prospects. We can't put a value on it. And I don't think that we can appreciate it fully until we are beyond the veil. Until we receive the full reward, then we will be able to say, now this was worth everything that we ever had to suffer, everything that we had to contend with. It's more than worth what the Lord has put us through. Then we'll thank Him for His leadings and trials and tests. But while they're ahead of us, it takes a lot of faith and appreciation and determination on our part to do His will to the full extent of our ability each day. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Well, brethren, who of us could not feel strengthened and encouraged and blessed at having these things brought to our remembrance of the exceeding great and precious promise that the Lord has held out to all his saints. I think that we have much here to consider and to dwell on and to endeavor to apply in our daily walk. And we, sure as all, were taken back also by the choice of words and the expressions that we can't really fully appreciate the prospects that have been offered to us until we have gone beyond the veil and begin to realize all that the Heavenly Father has provided for us. I'm sure, dear friends, that this will give us strength, more earnestness, more zeal, if it were, greater determination to hold on faithfully to that which we have covenanted. Thank you, Brother Schepelbaum, again. All right, now, we know that Brother and Sister Schepelbaum will be returning to their ecclesia in East Los Angeles. I'm sure we would not want them to leave our midst empty-handed. And would the brethren desire to send their Christian, let's go one step further, their fervent Christian love back with the brethren to their ecclesia? Those so inclined,
thank you.
Brother and sister, you have a twofold responsibility. All right, we will close of our session this morning. We'll have a luncheon and fellowship. And brother has selected for closing hymn number 218. Hymn number 218. Let's sing 218, and may we arise on the last verse. Schepelbaum to close this portion with prayer, asking also the Lord's blessing upon our noon provision.
Our Father of love and mercy, we come to thy hallowed presence to thank thee for thy love in providing our dear Redeemer, through whom we've had justification to life. We also thank thee, Father, for the high calling in Christ Jesus. And may we strive to appreciate more and to endeavor to copy more closely the character lines of our dear Redeemer. We do also ask for a greater measure of thy Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of our many shortcomings, and pray that thou continue to be with us and with thy Israel everywhere. Bless us here as we continue with one another. Bless the temporal provisions, and we do commit our all into thy hands, and praying it all in Jesus' name. Amen.